The reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
This week is the final subject in our little series on the gospel, the Christian gospel. And you perhaps remember we looked first at why we should share the gospel. Basically, it's good news. And of course, our Lord Jesus commanded us to do this at the end of Matthew's gospel. And then secondly, we looked at what the gospel actually is. It's very simply Jesus. When we follow him, we become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Thirdly, we looked at the questions that people might ask about perhaps suffering or science, or these days sexuality is a big issue, isn't it? And then fourth, last week Keith Rush came and talked about telling your personal story of what Jesus means to you. This time I want to look about helping your friend to take that step to follow Jesus. What should they actually do? How should they actually become a Christian? Well, first of all, remember that the gospel, the good news, is a person. It's Jesus. So what did Jesus tell people to do? Well, that's why we asked Peter to read that reading from Mark's gospel. Jesus came and proclaimed, "The kingdom of God is near, nearby, close, soon, right outside the door." And then Jesus said, "Repent and believe the good news, and then follow me." So what did he mean? Well, repent means, first of all, turning away from sin, from evil, from following the obsessions of the world about us. Saying no to self-interested, self-centered living. Then believe the good news. Well, that means focusing on Jesus, acknowledging him as your master, self-consciously placing him at the center of your life. And then following Jesus means adjusting your life, every aspect of your life, to match his values, to live in the way that he commands. When I was young, I was taught to follow the ABC, and that stood for A for admit your sin, B for believe in Jesus, C for commit your life to him. Admit your sin, believe in Jesus, commit your life to him. It's a good little simple way of understanding how to become a Christian. In the baptism and confirmation services, you remember a couple of weeks ago we went to Stanway for that service. And when candidates make a decision to follow the Christian faith, they have to make promises. And there's a little group of negative promises and a little group of positive ones. The negative ones are saying no to sin and evil, and then the positive ones are saying yes to God in Jesus Christ. And in the early church, candidates even started facing west to renounce the ways of the world, and then they turned around and faced east towards the rising sun to accept Christ as their Saviour and Lord. So you're getting the picture, aren't you, that there's both a no that you need to say to evil and the ways of the world, goodbye to the past, and then there's a saying yes, committing to a future with Jesus. Recently, I bought one of those smart speakers, an Amazon Echo, featuring Alexa. So perhaps, could you play this one, Marianne? Alexa, how do I become a Christian?
Here's something I found on reference.com. To become a born-again Christian, one must profess his sins, accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for man on the cross, ask God's forgiveness and proclaim his new faith. After following these initial steps, however, Christians believe that other steps must be taken in order to maintain faith in God.
There you go. Fairly straightforward and simple, isn't it? Even Alexa knows how to do it. How about that? If you go on a course like Alpha or Christianity Explored, they usually offer a little model prayer of commitment. For example, on Alpha, Nikki Gumbel suggests a prayer like this. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Take a few moments to ask forgiveness for anything particular that's on your conscience. Then, please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So that's a sort of model prayer, a template, if you like, for what you could pray, how you could ask the Lord to be a part of your life. And I think for most people, it also helps to take some kind of positive step or action. If you're as old as me, you'll remember the Billy Graham rally events, where Billy Graham would call people to get up out of their seats and the staging and so on, and make their way down the aisles to stand in front of the stage where he was. And that walking forward was a clear step of commitment. And all around the arena or whatever it was, people would say, oh, my neighbour's got up and he's walking forward. You know, that would be a very clear sign of their decision. And so is baptism and confirmation in a way, isn't it? People make a decision privately in their hearts, individually, and then we need to act it out in our lives, even if it's just to tell one sympathetic friend. So can I suggest, don't be afraid to ask your friends, would you like to do that? Would you like to pray a prayer? Would you like to take a step of commitment to Jesus Christ? And in my experience, more than half the time, they'll surprise you. They'll say, actually, yes, I would. I'd quite like to do that. And the reason for that is because God has already been prompting them as he's prompted you to ask them. God's at work in both people, both parties. We've been doing the Who Cares survey recently. And many people have responded and they've told us what hurts them or what concerns them the most. And in Marks Tay, as in Aldham, around about 10% of the population have responded to us. And that's good, isn't it? They've actually told us something about their personal journey. Last week, Keith Rush stood here and told us how he talks to people he meets out and about, whether it's on the underground, the tube train, or at the supermarket checkout, or wherever he is. And if they seem in need, he prays for them there and then. And he also tells them about Jesus, who helps us in so many troubles. I think that's a great way to respond, right there and then. Can I pray for you? Tim Dooley also told us at the men's breakfast how putting God first in our lives reduces many of our worries and anxieties and depression and so on, puts them in second place because God has become more important to us. St. Peter in his letter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But, says Peter, do this with gentleness and respect. Jesus and the apostles, you remember, they challenged people, didn't they? Inquirers were encouraged to take a step of faith and to put their trust in God. Sometimes in day-to-day life, you might just feel God giving you a little nudge to do that. You might feel the Spirit just saying, go and talk to that person. Can I encourage you to do that, to follow that prompting? Being loving, of course. Being gentle, of course. But don't fudge it. Ask them, would you like to take a step of faith? Would you like to draw close to God? And then encourage them to pray. Let's do that now.
Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for those words. We just remember what Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. It means that it's something that we can actually reach out to. It's those steps that we can make ourselves or by encouraging others to step out as well. Lord, help us this morning to just see the places where you want us to reach out, to make those steps. Lord, we just ask you, put that on our heart now. And Lord, if there's anybody here who feels the need to reach out, Lord, we just pray that they would do that now and also come forward for the prayer ministry afterwards at the service, Lord. We all need to reach out in one form or another. There's all, or each one of us has more that we could do. Lord, just help us today and the weeks ahead to meditate on those steps and how we can reach out. Amen.